Do you think young people today are too self-absorbed, too into themselves and not caring as much about others? Our guest calls this the selfie syndrome. She says it's dangerous and we should do more to instill empathy in our children. We'll find out how to do that and why we should this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July 7th. Are you concerned about a lack of empathy in children and in our society? What do you think children need to learn empathy? How do you demonstrate empathy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michelle Borba, an educational psychologist, former teacher, regular NBC Today Show contributor. She's also appeared as a parenting expert on shows including The View and CNN. Borba has authored 22 books. Her latest is Unselfie: Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. And she joins us from California very extra early, so thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you are so welcome.
So what led you to focus in on empathy for this book?
Well, I've always been really concerned about empathy, but there was one scathing statistic that kept coming up that was culled from the University of Michigan and a number of their university professors. And what they were doing was tracking kids over the last 30 years, incoming college freshmen, thousands of them from coast to coast, regardless of zip code. And what they found is a 40% dip in empathy, the ability to feel with others. It started really going downwards around the year 2000. And at the same time, there was a 58% increase in self-absorption, or that would be the selfie syndrome, thinking about all about yourself. That was a huge concern to me because when empathy goes, bullying goes up, cruelty goes up, and our kids' chances for just a more healthy, successful reach on life also begins to go down.
Those statistics are really shocking, and it's notable, I think, that they come from a university survey. And these aren't kids in dire circumstances necessarily.
No, what we found also that's very concerning is that it seems to be children who are brought up in more privileged areas, the wealthier, the less empathy. So it becomes a real conundrum of what's going on. At the same time, there was another concern, and that is businesses kept telling me that they were very worried about hiring practices of kids coming out the best of our brightest, really smart children coming out from particularly Ivy League universities. And, yeah, they had all the grades. They're up a very, very smart IQ points. But they were lacking the skills to be able to get along in terms of employability, getting into the shoes of their client, of their customer. And you'll begin to see a new trend that's coming out. Even Wall Street Journal last week had a very interesting article. And that was all major businesses are now doing empathy-building training facilities because they're seeing that a lot of their employees are lacking that ability. And empathy, we now know, is something we can cultivate. But it seems to be lying low on our radar screen in terms of our parenting practices. And as a result, I think that's one of the reasons why it's lying dormant with a lot of our kids. We got a lot of extraordinarily caring kids. But we've got to really keep the pulse on this because this is really the benchmark for humanity.
Yeah, well, we'll talk all about that, including how we might teach empathy. But why do you think it's low on our radar screen? Why aren't we focusing on it?
I think around the year 2000, what really began to happen is that we put more and more as a culture, more and more emphasis on grades, on SATs, and getting into that college of your choice. And as a result, we became very, very scheduled in our parenting practices, and rightly so, because we wanted our kids to be successful. But what happened is we take them to violin, to Mandarin, to soccer practice. We look at all of those skills, and what became lower and lower on our parenting priorities was practicing social skills. And at the same time, what happened is our kids became more and more, obviously, plugged in. I mean, Common Sense Media says the average child's plugged in around 7.5 hours a day when you add up all those digital devices. and you don't learn empathy facing a screen. When I started looking at what are the habits that kids need to rebuild empathy, that's what Unselfie will be offering. The first one is emotional literacy. You got to be able to read what the other person is feeling on their face or in their voice tone or in their body language, and you don't learn that facing screens.
So why is it so important for kids to have empathy to be happy and successful?
Well, that's the other thing that's interesting, is we put this on a flip. We think it's all about making our kids happy, is giving them the things, when in reality, the real happier kids seem to be first strong in relationships, connection. In fact, the healthier the person and the ones who live longer have healthier relationships. Second of all, perspective taking, which is one part of empathy, there's a lot of different components to it, is the ability to be critical thinking patterns of feel how the character's feeling, you know, how's Atticus Finch perspective, or all of those history lessons when we look at, you really have to be able to do that. And so as a result, your grades go up and you're a little happier there. Mental health, what we see is empathetic people usually are happier in terms of their outlook because they reach out towards others, but a lot of them also have the ability to handle stress. So their stress levels go down and they can reach out. There's a lot of benefits to it. But the other thing is employability factors also go up. So you put all of those together, it's a win-win. And that's why I think empathy is so critical, particularly if it's going down. We need to be able to flip this thing and turn it up so kids start just flipping that whole lens of not looking at themselves, which is the other thing we start doing. We're becoming a real brand, celebrity-driven conscious culture where kids are so concerned about how they look, and we need to start raising them, I think, a little more from the inside out.
So how is it that empathy can be taught?
Number one is there's a lot of factors. Every bit of research is on our side. Even when we look at starting at the age of 7 months, we know that our little ones really prefer to be helpers. The first one is really very, very simple. Start talking feelings a lot more with your children and have some unplugged times when kids do sit and have really that wonderful thing called conversation 101. It's so natural, but that's one way that just is the first habit of emotional literacy. Second of all, use what all of the research is saying. Emotional imagination or moral imagination, stepping into the shoes of the character, read more of those emotionally charged books with your kids, like Charlotte's Web and, you know, Stone Fox. All of those are wonderful ways to help kids be just more ignited with feeling for another. Talk just a little more naturally about caring in your own home. When your child comes barreling from home from school, don't be so quick to always ask what you get in terms of your grade. Well, what caring things did you do? Or how are your friends today? Or make charity just an ongoing part of your family. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to take a program or download an app, but just leave a box by your front door. And it's when the box gets all filled with our gently used toys or games or whatever it is, let's as a family start delivering it to a needy family. So it becomes an ongoing ritual, not a once-a-year Thanksgiving process where we all work at a food bank. But kids begin to see the message or hear the message that caring matters. And Joy, I think the other one that's just so simple that we overlook is to tune it up in ourselves. All the research says one of the simplest ways to really produce more caring-hearted kids is to surround them with examples of people who also are caring-hearted. So that means just take a moment as a mom or a dad and say, if my kid only had my behavior to watch today, what would he have caught?
Yeah. So
it's kind of a rude awakening.
model empathetic behavior. And what are some examples of things that we can do to do that?
Well, first of all, if your child is just eavesdropping on you as a conversation on a phone, who are you calling? I need to make a phone call to the neighbor next door. I know that she's feeling kind of sad today, and I want to make her feel better. Or I think what I'm going to do is make some cookies to bring them over to her. Or as you're watching TV, oh, I feel so sad for those people who just got hit by the tsunami. How would you feel? Maybe we can do something. What do you think we can do? I interviewed over about 500 kids who I consider to be change makers, just glorious kids, ordinary kids who are doing some extraordinary things. And I would ask the child, how did you get this way to do such wonderful things out there? And they all said it was just my mom or my dad. They always talked about being kind and caring at home, and they saw that that's something that I wanted to do was, you know, maybe it was cyberbullying. I wanted to stop cyberbullying. Well, that's not so easy, but mom would say, well, what can you do? And so one little boy said, I just started an anonymous Twitter feed, Kevin Kerwick. In fact, he's from Minnesota. And he just would start tweeting anonymous nice things to people out there in the real world. Well, somehow somebody found out about what he was doing. The thing went viral, and kids all over the world wanted to start copying what he was doing as well. There's so many wonderful stories about kind-hearted kids who are doing just cool things in on selfies. But that's the kind of thing I think we need to start doing.
We are talking with the author of Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. We are learning about some of the 9 essential habits that provide the empathy advantage with our guest, Michelle Borba, an educational psychologist. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have some questions or some examples. We are talking about how we can instill empathy in our children with the author of Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or if you have an idea on how we can instill empathy in children. How do you do that with the children in your life? How do you model empathy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And are you concerned that the current young generation doesn't have enough empathy? Our guest is Michelle Borba. She's an educational psychologist, a former teacher, and regular NBC Today Show contributor. And, you know, we have some callers, so let's go first to Stephen in La Crosse. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering about older people. We all have a story about our crazy grandpa who just says what he thinks and makes the kids cry and told them to be seen and not heard. And we have a reputation as we get older of losing empathy. What does your guest have to say about that?
Well, Michelle, is a lack of empathy just a problem with kids? Is it a problem with adults, too?
Oh, it certainly is a problem with adults. All we have to do is read the front page of the newspaper, and we should be shuddering. But what we do know is that we have to keep it open. It's not a process that we can go, okay, now we have it, like an RIQ, and it's just going to continue to be at the same level. We have to keep doing projects. We have to keep our minds open. And what we find is that as we get older, and if our connection pieces break down, then our empathy levels can go down. That's the problem we'd have with an older individual. And it may be important, for instance, how great for a younger generation to pair up with an older generation, grandparents with younger kids, doing things together, maybe ones that help both age groups.
Yeah, you were speaking before our news break about some things we can do to, you know, model empathy, and some of it was being kind. Just and talk some about the kindness revolution that you want us all to join.
Well, the interesting thing about empathy is that there are different habits that it needs in order to keep it open, and one of those habits is practicing kindness. Just simple, everyday acts of kindness. My girlfriend had the simplest rule, and I just absolutely love it. What I tried to do in Unselfie is flood the book with simple ideas that could cost a dime. She sat down when her children were little and realized she wanted them to grow up to be kind, also smart. But as they went out the door, she had something called the two kind rule, and she started when they were about 3. Every day you walk out this door, you say or do at least 2 kind things to someone. And then when we come back at dinner time, we'll talk about it. Now, the project was simple. She kept doing it as a routine and a ritual, which is what you want to do as a parent. Find a ritual or routine and keep it going. But the interesting thing is it matched the science perfectly. Because first of all, those children's kindness became a habit. And the more they did it, they began to see themselves as kind-hearted. So what happened is they developed something called the caring mindset. Sounds sophisticated, but it's very simple. How you see yourself is how you act. And what she raised are three of the kindest kids you could possibly imagine. Yep, they did quite well in school, but they were also kind. I've seen many schools, for instance, we overlook that the simplest way to create a safe and caring school environment is to make it a more friendly tone environment. And when we do, it reduces bullying. My background was working with school shooters, and I thought, how the heck do we flip this thing around? What I saw is, for instance, principals standing at the door greeting kids when they walk in the school grounds is an amazing way to start a day because it just brings the friendly factor. And when kids see that modeling of the principal doing it, they do it themselves. I've seen kindness ambassadors up in Oregon. They're kids, middle school kids. They have hats that say, I'm a friendship greeter. But what they do is they find the spot on the school where there's least friendly. The kids themselves were concerned about it. And what they just began to do is just smile, say hello. In fact, the school created huge posters of what you can do to be kind. Well, what began to happen is because they were modeling it, the second tier of kids started to pick it up, and they began to model it, and then the lower tier. So all we need to do is just take it up a notch and just create a more friendly kind of an environment as a first step. It doesn't mean they're going to be more empathetic naturally, but the first step is it helps you tune into the other person, and it just begins to do low-level social skills things. So it begins a kindness revolution.
Sure. And I could see, too, that if a child has a good sense of empathy, that if you witness bullying happening, you're going to say something. You're going to feel for the person being bullied, and you're going to try to stop it.
Joy, that is one of the things that I was really trying to work on with this book. My goal was to help kids become upstanders, to step in and not become a bystander. But what I realized, I did a couple of Dateline specials on this, on do kids step in? They do if they have empathy, but also if they're taught the habits in Chapter 8, which are moral courage. What all kids tell me is that they want to step in, but nobody's teaching them how. So I came up with strategies based on adult bystander mentality that's called Buster, B-U-S-T-E-R. A few of them are when you see someone who's, and you are getting distressed yourself, and you see someone who looks like their friend or they're being picked on or they're being bullied, walk a little closer toward the victim, not the bully. A bully wants contempt. He's all about power. Draw the audience from him. Walk toward the victim. What will happen is you can draw other people that away, and that's one beginning strategy. You can also use a distraction. Hey, the teacher's coming, and it'll disperse the audience. You can exit if you can't do anything, and you can go get a teacher. You can just speak out by saying, stop it, or that's hurtful, or you'll get suspended. But there's a number of factors that you can do that we now know will break up the bystander mentality and help kids learn to care. What we may be failing to do as adults is teaching them how to be safe but stop bullying at the first 10 seconds. Literally, all the research says kids have an enormous amount of power if we mobilize their compassion on the school site.
We are talking with Michelle Borba, an educational psychologist and author of Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. Yeah, 9 Essential Habits That Provide the Empathy Advantage. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or maybe an experience that you'd like to share, maybe some act of empathy or kindness that you have witnessed or that you try to practice. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. David in Richland Center is with us. Hi, David.
Hi. First off, great panel, interesting topic. I really like it. Quick, short questions. How did the university measure empathy and self-absorption? You know, these are interactions that we have with people, so it seems kind of arbitrary to me that you can say, you know, we have a 40% decrease since 2000, so I'm just curious how they measure that. Second, the panelists had mentioned that that we don't learn empathy behind screens, and then goes on to give an example about how a child started this anonymous Twitter feed to stop cyberbullying. And to me, that just seems like a bit of a contradiction. So I would just like a little clarification there. That's all.
Well, that's a good question. How do we measure empathy, and how can we really say that teens today are 40% less empathetic than previous generations?
Oh, well, great question, David. The researchers came up with a list of just regular what they would consider narcissistic personality traits, like I'm more concerned about myself as opposed to others. When somebody needs something, I think of myself first, not them. Just regular little items such as that. They never changed the questions to them, but they were based on really intense psychological studies of what are narcissistic just traits. They gave the same questions, and what they discovered around the year 2000 in particular, less and less kids were saying, I will stick up for others, or I care about another person, or I will step in and help another person. And so what they began to look at was the flip that they saw based on just a DMS guide of what a narcissistic personality traits look like. In terms of the Twitter feed, you're right. The majority of times, kids certainly are, all of that plugged-in trait can be very negative on just looking at, like, texting and not talking. But there are certain elements that are internet, which is here to stay, like Skyping or like FaceTime or using it as a positive way, for instance, to go onto websites on the Do Good website, which is actually looking for stories that are elevating examples that can make you feel good about somebody else. Or what Kevin Kerwick did, that was the little guy who started the anonymous Twitter feed, was he was doing it because he said, I'm going to send specific praise, genuine comments about kids on the Twitter feed after he'd seen it in action out on the playground or out on his on the high school. For instance, Johnny was really nice today because I saw him helping another person who looked like they were really distraught. Nice job, Johnny. So he saw it. His empathy was elevated from it, and then he reported it. But he used Twitter in order to report it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think while social media has many benefits, it's also very antisocial sometimes. And I'm wondering how much that, when kids are seeing how we yell at each other on social media sometimes, how that affects them.
That certainly affects them because there's the modeling right there. Or it's very easy to get into the cyberbullying element because it's depersonalization. You're not seeing the face of the other person. And so what we discover, even though the majority of bullying is a dysfunctional relationship, and most bullying does start first on the playground, then go into the cyberbullying, it's a lot easier because it's anonymous. And one of the things we worry about in empathy is depersonalization. You no longer are seeing the person with a face or who they are. It's just, okay, they just deserved it. So I click it and say something vicious about them.
Scott in Columbus is with us. Hello, Scott.
Hi, good morning. I'm enjoying the show today. And I think that this has been coming, this way of thinking has been coming for a long time. I would cite as an example the famous movie from the 1980s, Wall Street, where greed is good. And we have become a hyper-competitive society where people who have reached the very top are idolized. And a lot of those people, for them, empathy becomes a liability. If you are worried in a hyper-competitive job, if you are worried about the feelings of the person that you beat out, just beat out for a promotion, the chances of you getting to the top are, very slim. Just take a look at, a person like Donald Trump and all the people that he has hurt on his way to what we, now idolize as success. And
Scott, interesting points. Michelle Borbo, what do you say about that? That this has just been cultivated in our society. If you're if you're empathetic, you're not going to make it to the top.
Well, a couple of points on that one. First of all, what they're now realizing is the Harvard Business Review has actually said that empathy is one of the top skills that will take you to the top, because we've seen it as soft and fluffy. That doesn't mean you don't need grit and the ability to be competent at the top. But the other thing is, when I was researching on selfie, Scott is right. There was a number of factors combined that were taking down empathy. We've talked a few of them, but the hyper-competitiveness and becoming more individualistic as a society is a big one. Pitting kids against each other at a very early age. Scott also mentioned something else, and that was about 10 years ago when our kids were asked, when you want to grow up, what do you want to be? And the majority of them said, like a helper, a teacher or a doctor or a leader or a president. Right now, the number one thing on their list is becoming rich or famous, a celebrity or an NFL player, because they're being hit over and over again with the money and the dollar sign factor. And that, again, is going to take down your empathy, because it's not about being a people job or even being just a people person. It's about doing it because it's all for the money or the winning factor, or I get the trophy at the top. There's a lot of factors that are taking down empathy, but the bottom line is our children are hardwired for it at birth. Unless we cultivate it, says the latest research, it does lie dormant. And a lot of children, I fear, are in sleep mode if we don't flip this around and give them an advantage for empathy, as well as doesn't mean stop helping and be successful in school. There's the win-win.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about how one way to cultivate empathy, perhaps, is taking place, and it has now been for many years, where mandatory volunteerism in high school, in order to graduate from high school in Wisconsin, you need to volunteer a certain number of hours at causes of your choice. What do you think of that?
I absolutely love it. That's what Chapter 9 is how to make a change maker. And when I looked at all of the research, it certainly said finding, and I love what you said, causes that you care about, what your child is passionate about, and help align them together. But the most interesting research on that also was this, that the best way to motivate a child's empathy is start with face-to-face connection, meaning don't have him just collect canned goods and just put them over in a bag by the front door, but have them actually deliver them to the person so he sees the joy on the person's face. Don't have them actually just collect 50,000 coins and send them over to some poverty-stricken area, wherever it is in the world. But the first step is to make sure that maybe he Skypes it so he sees the impact of giving out what his money has done for someone. It was that face-to-face connection that every child said was the moment of what they called transformation. I saw myself in a different light. I could not do it again. I just kept helping do more to help others. One big thing that we may be doing wrong is just helping our kids do service because it looks good on a college resume. It's a fabulous opportunity for our kids to not only recognize their talents, their strengths, and what they're passionate about, but also mobilize their empathy because they're seeing the impact when their gestures are done to that other person.
Clarence says, I'm 68. I consider myself quite empathetic. As a kid, my mother would have my siblings and I say a prayer whenever we saw someone hurt on TV. I think that helped me build empathy. We have just a minute before news break. What do you think of that?
I love it. You can do a prayer, or you can do around gratitude, which is dissing them at nighttime. What's one person you saw today that you were grateful for? It could be somebody like the janitor because he helped me open up the door, or my friend out on the playground, and say thank you for that particular person. All of that is something that helps open up our hearts and is very research-based.
We are talking about how we can instill and cultivate empathy in our children and in ourselves, for that matter. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about what steps we can take ourselves to help the children in our lives become more empathetic, and how we might cultivate more empathy in our own lives. And we're going to welcome more of your questions and examples on how we do this. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michelle Borba, an educational psychologist, author of Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. And we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Children and society are being undermined by what our guest calls the selfie syndrome, which she says leads to bullying and poor academic performance and cheating and less resilience. She says we need to do a better job of cultivating empathy in our children. It will benefit them and benefit all of us. And we're talking about how to do this. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Why do you think children need to learn empathy? And how do you instill empathy in the children in your life? You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michelle Borba, educational psychologist, former teacher, regular NBC Today show contributor, author of Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. And we will we'll talk soon about some ways we can give our children the edge they need to succeed, according to our guest. But first, let's take another call from Mary in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to just say that if she could address, if Michelle could address the issue that so many Bernie Sanders supporters were millennials, and they, you know, Bernie is nothing but empathy. I mean, that's exactly, I think, the basis of so much of what he proclaims or what have you. And I wish she would address that, because is this maybe people that are somewhat younger than the millennials that we're discussing, that I have, you know, don't have the empathy?
So she's seeing a lot of empathy, especially in the young people who, you know, are turning out to support Bernie Sanders, Michelle Borba.
Well, across the board, where obviously there's whole different pockets of who has empathy and who doesn't, and I am sure it'll be a fascinating research report as to, therefore, who do they vote for. My concern is, in this particular book, with all of a younger age bracket, which are students before they graduate from high school, because that's where I'm seeing the biggest trends, the biggest concerns, and that's why. And, by the way, the other biggest concern is college-age students. Coming out, for instance, I just addressed all the college mental health counselors across the United States, over 2,000 of them, and their biggest concern is one out of three of our incoming college freshmen will be so overwhelmed that they cannot cope. Their concern is they need to keep empathy open for those kids, because maybe we have bubble wrapped them too much, put so much emphasis on the test score that we haven't taught them coping skills. And a big piece of empathy is also teaching your kids stress reduction or coping strategies. Without that, empathy can wane and they dial it down because kids are in survival mode. Joy, we have never seen a more stressed out generation of youth on record, says the American Academy of Pediatrics.
So, and how does that link up to lack of empathy?
What happens is we're dealing with a number of our children who do have the empathy, but with stress builds and they don't have a way to cope with that stress or dial it down. They dial their own empathy down because they're in survival mode and they have to feel for themselves. Probably one of the most important chapters is on selfie, is how to help kids regulate their emotions. I've worked on over 18 Army bases overseas with the Pentagon. They taught me, commanders, their new training facilities, what they're doing, and it was by retraining the Navy SEALs, the most elite forces that we have. When Navy SEALs told me how they keep their stress at bay and fear at bay, I went, oh, my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. The first one is deep breathing. As soon as they start to feel the fear or the stress come in, they take a slow, deep breath, which is real deep, hold it for a count of two, and let it out. If you do that and exhale twice as long as you inhale, it actually triggers your vagus nerve, so it opens it up and relaxes you. That's just absolutely amazing. If we could teach every kid across the world that particular stress management, it'll keep your empathy open as well as your stress down. They also chunk things. They don't take the worry about the whole battle. They work through getting through the first second, then the next second. So they chunk it. We can teach that to our kids as well. I know bullying is hard. Just get through the first second, then the next second. Third thing is they teach them to say some kind of a positive affirmation in their head. I can do this, or I can get through it. One positive affirmation to a child can be unbelievably important, and then they mentally rehearse the scenario. How am I going to get through it? Even Michael Phelps does that. When he jumps into a pool, it's I'm rehearsing every single possibility, anticipating what the problem could be in terms of even getting water in my goggles so I can still succeed and get through. Those are strategies we've got to help our kids learn, because it'll not only keep their mental health intact, stress down, but keep their empathy open and fight what's called the empathy gap. They have the empathy, but they can't keep it open because there's obstacles in the way.
So I guess spell it out for us. What's the impact when a child's negativity or stress decreases?
When their negativity and their stress decreases, then they become more open and receptive to, first of all, tuning to others. How does she feel, not how I feel? And it certainly keeps their mental health more intact so they can concentrate in that classroom better. They can be more resilient and bounce back, and also obviously keeps their empathy open so they have caring connections with one another. Those are really the healthier child, so they're happier and more successful, and that's the whole goal of what Unselfie is trying to do.
So when teaching children about empathy or teaching children empathy, is it one size fits all, or is it age dependent?
Well, it certainly is age dependent. We know that, and that's why Unselfie is set up by age strategies. Here's what to do with your little one. Here's what to do with your teen. But frankly, the best thing about any good parenting strategy is always not a cookie cutter approach. What worked for the first kid, so it's going to work for the second one. You figure out what turns that child's passion on. Each child is going to be a little bit different in terms of how they portray their empathy. The biggest concern I have is that we seem to be talking feelings far more with our daughters than we do with our sons, says the research, even by the age of 2. So by the time our children are going off to age 5 kindergarten, our girls have a far better empathy advantage because they have a feeling vocabulary, and those knowing feelings and understanding feelings is the gateway first habit to opening up empathy. What's the lesson there? Let's just talk feelings a lot more to our sons as well.
Yeah. Wait, the book's a subtitle, 9 Essential Habits That Provide the Empathy Advantage. We've certainly been talking about them throughout the hour, but let's conclude. What are those 9 essential habits?
Number one is teaching emotional literacy, so you understand feelings and emotions, that we can start at age 1. Developing an ethical moral code in your family, that we are a caring family. This is what we stand for. We are socially responsible. Kids who have that's embedded to them from their families or their parents, here's what we stand for in this family, are far more likely to be a caring child. Perspective taking. Getting into the shoes of the other person. That's what all the business world is doing right now, and Harvard is teaching it. You've got to understand where your client is coming from. That's a glorious one. You can even do that with chess. Where do you think your partner is going to move that piece? Mm. Moral imagination is the 4th habit. That's using elevating experiences, film, and reading in order to upbeat your child's empathy. Mastering emotions is the 5th one. That's keeping your cool so your empathy can stay open. Teaching kids stress management techniques. Practicing kindness, we talked about that one, Joy, but the more children practice it and make it into a routine, the easier it becomes so they see themselves as a caring person. 7 is being a collaborator, learning us and not them. So you'll begin to be open up your child's social hubs so they see everybody as a person, not a them. And finally, sticking your necks out, that's the moral courage piece. It's going to help us, our children, with bullying. The final one is raising an empathetic change maker, a child who recognizes what he can do to make a difference in the world. That would be the service projects that you described, knowing where your passion goes and tailoring it so your child knows, regardless of how old he is, with that lemonade stand out on the grass to doing the service project with the elderly, you're making a difference, and that's the kind of person you are.
Kate emails, I want to share what my daughter did in 4-year-old kindergarten this year. They read the book, Have You Filled a Bucket Today?
I love that book.
I'll have to read it. She says that, which basically says if you do kind things to people, it fills their bucket, and unkind things, it empties their buckets. It is such a tangible way to teach kindness. My daughter would often say, I filled her bucket with excitement. Excellent resource.
It is an excellent resource. That's in the chapter. I put numbers of books that are wonderful. Have You Filled Your Bucket is in Unselfie. The cutest thing I saw was in a kindergarten classroom also. Each child had a little bucket that was a plastic bucket with their picture on it. And what children would do is make sure that they just wrote or drew simple little nice comments or kind deeds to each child and making sure that each child's bucket was filled. So you're a bucket filler, not a bucket dipper. And that's a great way to teach a 3-, 4-, or 5-year-old, just starting them on the road to empathy.
Boy, I think it would do pretty good if you were, you know, 52.
Exactly.
So what do you hope people take away from your book?
I hope they take away that empathy is not a soft and fluffy skill. It's an integral part of living, and it's an integral part of successful living. If we really want a civilized, human, humane kind of a world, we need to instill empathy in our children. And empathy plus mind, solid, good old mind out there in the classrooms, heart and mind is really what's going to help our kids become successful, happy, and thrive out there in the real world without us.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michelle Borba, educational psychologist, former teacher, and regular NBC Today show contributor. She has appeared as a parenting expert on shows including The View and CNN. She has authored 22 books, including Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World, 9 Essential Habits That Provide the Empathy Advantage. Thanks very much to producers Brianne Shasso and Elizabeth Deliquist. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Coming up in our next hour, it's On the Campaign Trail, and we will talk about a variety of issues making news on the campaign trail, including the result of the FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private server when she was Secretary of State. The FBI says no charges are warranted, but the FBI's director delivered a scathing rebuke of Hillary Clinton's judgment, calling her extremely careless. So we'll talk about that and more coming up on the campaign trail tomorrow at this, or in our next hour.